Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation this Transfiguration Sunday is from our Gospel lesson, Luke chapter 9, part of verse 33. And Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here." This is our text. Can you imagine having been there that day on that mountaintop with the disciples and with Jesus and with Moses and Elijah? What an incredible experience that must have been to see Jesus in all of his glory, to come to the point where you really know and understand and believe that he is the Son of God, the one who had come to save the world from its sins. To be there on that mountaintop, to see the glory, must have been unbelievable. But it wasn't just something to look at. There's an even deeper reason why the disciples needed to be there, needed to see what they saw that day. Jesus had just finished telling them that they were going to go to Jerusalem and he was going to suffer and die when he was there. That must have shaken them to their foundation. They had great hopes for this trip to Jerusalem, that Jesus would somehow show himself to be that promised Messiah, the Savior of Israel, who had come to elevate the nation once again. But to suffer and die was something beyond their comprehension. It might have shaken them to the roots of their faith. Was Jesus all he claimed to be? Was he really in truth the Son of God? Was he going to accomplish the salvation of all people? What they saw there on that mountaintop would assure them that this was indeed the very way that God had planned to accomplish all of those things. To drive home that point, the disciples were permitted to see and to hear from heaven how all that was true. All of a sudden, Moses and Elijah are standing there with Jesus. They're conversing with him about the work he was going to be doing in Jerusalem, talking about his suffering and death and what that would mean for all people. And if that weren't enough, then the cloud that surrounds them, and out of that cloud comes the voice from heaven that assures them that this Jesus is God's beloved Son. And they are to listen to everything he tells them. They could trust what he would say. They could believe his words. He was going to do all he had been sent to do, even if at first it seemed to them to be the wrong way to accomplish that mission. But it was God's will that Jesus suffer and die in Jerusalem. We can only imagine how that event must have strengthened them for all the things they would see and hear in the days to come. But what took place there on that mountaintop was not just for those disciples. It was for Jesus also. I'm sure he would draw strength and encouragement from the things that he heard and heard things that he heard on that mountaintop. the reminder that no matter how much you suffer and die, no matter how much you face in these days to come, the bottom line always is, you are my beloved son. How Jesus must have clung to that promise as he hung on the cross when his father turned his back on his only son. The gospel lesson comes to the end and says that the disciples didn't really talk about this, about anything they heard or saw up on that mountaintop. How would you explain what they saw to someone if you had been there? We all probably would have needed the time to let that event solidify in our minds. We need time to think about it, to digest it, to try and understand it. And even if they did try to tell someone about it, who would have believed them? What took place on that mountaintop was something so important, so wonderful, so big. They needed the time to consider what this really meant for all of them. It was going to take the crucifixion and the death and the resurrection and Pentecost before they could fully comprehend what had happened and what it meant for all people. Remember what Peter wanted to do when he was up on that mountaintop. He got all caught up in everything that he was seeing and hearing, and he was so impressed and so overcome, so overwhelmed that he said, Lord, let's make some tabernacles here. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And his point was, we could stay up here forever and bask in all this glory. But it was not to be. As good as it was up there on the mountaintop with Jesus, they would all have to descend down into the valley. There was work to do for all of them there. For Jesus, the trip to Jerusalem would mean the cross. For Peter, James, and John, it would mean they would have work to do also. There were lessons for them to learn. There were things they had to see and hear. The Holy Spirit would have to be poured out upon them in that new and richer way. And they would have that new faith to spread throughout the world. Yes, they had to come down off the mountain because there was work for all of them to do. The transfiguration of Jesus. I think an important question we need to ask ourselves is, what does that event mean for us here at Hope Lutheran Church in Levittown, Pennsylvania? What does the transfiguration have to say to us today? Well, the first thing we need to note is that there is a time when God calls us kind of out of this world to go up onto a mountaintop to be alone with Him. He has something up there for us to see and hear. He wants us up there in His presence to find the spiritual rest and refreshment that we need. He wants us to get a taste of that peace that we have in Him. And He wants us to be strengthened and encouraged for the work that we have yet to do. As we gather there on that mountaintop with Jesus, we too catch a glimpse of who He really is. And we remember why He has come. And there on the mountaintop, he speaks to us. And he assures us that we are indeed his children, now and forever. Where is this mountaintop where Jesus wants to take us? Well, I hope you won't be disappointed with the answer. But that place where Jesus wants us to be, where we can be alone with him, is right here. Right here in this sanctuary. Here is where we meet him in our worship services. Here is where we stand in his presence at Holy Communion. Here is where he meets with us when we gather for Bible study. Here he is in the midst of us as we enjoy our Christian fellowship with one another. Think about it for a moment. This is the place where God's glory dwells. This is the place where he speaks to us. Here is where we hear him talk to us in the lessons, in the hymns we sing, in the liturgy that we use in worship, and even in the sermons we hear. Here is where we gather together to bring all of our petitions, our needs, our wants, our cares, concerns, and offer them up in prayer to his throne of grace, knowing that he hears each and every one of those petitions, promises us that he will answer each of them in the best way possible for us. Here is where we gather together to sing his praises in our hymns. Here is where we receive the very body and blood that he gave on the cross to earn forgiveness for us. Here is where we come after a long, hard week of life out in the world, life out in the valley, so that we can be strengthened and encouraged and uplifted and prepared for the next week of life in this world. Here is where we find fellowship with and encouragement from those who walk the same path of faith that we do. This place, this church, these worship services are to be for us a mountaintop experience each and every week. This is why God established the Sabbath day. It's why he sanctified this day. He knew how important this day was going to be for his children. And that's why he gave us the third commandment, so that we too would see the importance of this day and do all that we could possibly do to honor this day by coming back to his house regularly and often. He knew how important this day would be for us. He knew how much we would need this day each and every week. He knew that after a week of life in the valley, we would need to be here to recharge our spiritual batteries. He knew that it would take a mountaintop experience with him to build us up and to strengthen us for what yet lies ahead. And what lies ahead for us is another week of life in the valley. And we know how hard and difficult life in the valley can be. Life in the valley means that each and every day we have to contend with and fight against sin and its temptations at every turn. Don't you think that God would rather have us stay on the mountaintop with him to bask in his glory, to relax in his love, to experience that heavenly peace always? I think he would rather have us up on the mountaintop with him, seeing his glory, worshiping him in spirit and in truth, to be with him in a place that we would be free from all the trials and troubles and problems of life in the valley. But like those first disciples, he sends us back into the valley too. And it isn't because he doesn't love us. And it isn't because he doesn't want us to stay up on the mountain with him. But he sends us down into the valley because he knows there's a whole bunch of people living down in that valley who are living every day without hope. Living every day with no peace, with no joy, with no forgiveness, with no salvation. There are so many people living in the valley. Maybe we should say there are so many people dying in the valley because they don't know the good news of life and salvation in Christ Jesus. So we come down from the mountain just like Peter, James, and John, because like them, we too have work to do in the valley. We come down to life in the valley because the faith must be shared and the kingdom of God must be extended. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. Today God has taken us up into the mountain to be alone with him. To see him, to catch a glimpse of who he really is. To solidify our faith in knowing and believing that he is the Christ, the living Son of God. We're there to grow in grace and knowledge. To be built up and to be strengthened in our faith through our worship and our communion and our prayer and Bible study and through fellowship. Lord, it is so good for us to be here. In fact, Lord, there is no better place for us to be than right here, together and alone with you, our Savior God. To be here is to make sure that we are ready, equipped, and prepared for life in the valley. Lord, it is so good for us to be here, to see you in all your glory, to know you as Lord and Savior, to understand the mission that you came to accomplish for us, to know that we have all been saved by the forgiveness of all of our sins, to rejoice in the mission you have given us, to share that good news with those around us. Lord, it is good for us to be here, but it is necessary for us to also be out there in life in the valley, sharing hope and joy and peace with those who have none of those gifts. Lord, help us to make sure that by our words and our deeds, we tell others, we show others where they can find those gifts in you also. Amen. Please rise.